So welcome to this week's version of the nostalgia section from the Braves Craze podcast. We've been talking about trades, in particular the Sean Murphy trade the Braves made. That trade has been highly scrutinized. Many say the trade has made the team better. Many say the trade has not made the team better or made the team worse. I was critical of that trade last week. I still stand by that analysis that I don't think we got better because of the offensive part of that, and we'll talk about that more over the coming weeks. But I wanted in the nostalgia section talk about three trades that I believe are the worst three trades in Braves history. That won't include the Murphy trade at this point in time because it is too early to say. But I do have three for you I'm going to go through from over the years and tell you about three trades that were bad and maybe why they were bad. Nostalgia is one of my favorite things to discuss. This section is something I've started just recently for this podcast, and I'm pretty excited to talk more about past baseball. So talking about these trades to me is a good start for that. So let's start with number three, the third worst trade in Braves history. Hits home for me as a Braves fan because I will certainly tell you this one is one that I feel like should never have been done, and that is the Dale Murphy trade when the Braves traded Dale Murphy to the Philadelphia Phillies. So August 3rd, 1990, the Atlanta Braves traded the franchise, Dale Murphy, to the Phillies for three players, Jim Vacher, Victor Rosario, and Jeff Parrott. Jeff Parrott being the most notable a relief pitcher that the Braves thought was going to be pretty good. Jim Vacher was a journeyman outfielder who had a little bit of pop, never really did a whole lot for the Braves. I think Rosario was a minor league player that I do not believe ever got up in the majors and did a whole lot. So large in part, the Phillies just got Dale Murphy for nearly free at this point. It was reported afterwards that Dale did request to go ahead and move on from the Braves. At that point in time, he was a shell of what he once was. He was 30-plus at this point in time. His career had started to go downward. He was not hitting the way Dale Murphy had always hit. And it was the downfall, the start of his career, kind of taking that dive the last 3 or 4 years where he didn't play as well. The Braves had David Justice ready to take over in right field. He's playing some first base. The sad part was the Braves were just becoming relevant, starting to make the playoffs, be good, and Dale Murphy carried that franchise for a long, long time, and then he was moved on from there and didn't get to be a part of the success they had in the 90s, which obviously famously won the 95 World Series with the big three pitchers. Chipper Jones being there, Andrew Jones being there, or coming up soon after that, David Justice, Ron Gant. So Dale's departure did kind of start a lot of this winning for the Braves, but I wish Dale could have stayed around. Most Braves fans had a very difficult time with this. It still is kind of hard to talk about trading your guy because at that point in time, that was the era where the players did stay home. It's famously Chipper Jones stayed with the Braves his whole career. I wish Dale had stayed there his whole career and they could have kept him around because he was a ton to our city and is one of the greatest Braves of all time. And as you know, should be a Hall of Famer in my mind, not even that close. So that is my number three trade in Braves history. That trade did not impact the Braves the way some of the others did. We lost a icon who has now come home to spend a lot of time with the Braves as a retiree and an ambassador, but lost an icon who could have done a lot more for us in those senses, but his career at that point in time was certainly tapering downward. None of the players involved made a big impact on the Braves side. Murph had one pretty good year with the Phillies, then went on to Colorado a couple years later, and by that point in time, he was kind of done with his career and didn't play but about 3 years after he was traded, I believe. So that's the number three worst trade in Braves history in my mind, was Dale Murphy to the Phillies. Number two was the Mark Teixeira trade in my mind. So July 31st, 2017, the Braves acquired Mark Teixeira in a trade sending Teixeira and Ron Mahe from the Rangers. Mahe was a left-handed relief pitcher that the Braves used for a year or so afterwards. And for that, they gave Matt Harrison, left-handed pitcher, minor league pitcher, Triple A, I believe, Jared Saltalamacchia, who was a highly touted catcher who was up to the majors and been Triple A a good bit, Elvis Andrews, Natale Feliz, and Bo Jones. So I believe that's five players, Harrison, Saltalamacchia, Andrews, Feliz, and Jones. Of those five guys, four guys made a pretty big impact for the Rangers or for other clubs. Harrison was a starting pitcher, a pretty good one for a while for the Rangers. I believe he ended up having arm trouble and didn't last that long. Saltalamacchia was a switch-hitting, big, tall, power-hitting catcher. He was more of a hitter than he was a catcher. He played a few years in the majors as well. Most notably, Elvis Andrews played shortstop, a leadoff style, speedy shortstop for the Rangers, from the Braves, and then for a few other teams in his career, had a nice career, still out there. Matter of fact, there was rumors the Braves might look at him to replace Dansby Swanson. I do think he's probably past his prime now, would not be a great move, but certainly his career was very good. Neftali Feliz, a relief pitcher from Atlanta who was kind of unheard of at that point in time, but it kind of shot up the ranks to be more heard of. Hard-throwing, high 90s reliever, ended up closing for a few teams. And then Bo Jones, I don't think ever made an impact in the majors to my knowledge, but certainly four fairly substantial impact players for Mark Teixeira and Ron Mahay was not a good look for Atlanta. Teixeira was a good player for the Braves for a couple years. The year they got him, I don't believe he actually helped them make the playoffs. They missed the playoffs. And then a couple years down the road when his contract came up, he was traded in a deal to the Angels, and all they got back was Casey Kochman and another minor leaguer. So we lost out on that trade in my mind pretty big, and we hurt our franchise for quite some time with those five prospects, four of which being major guys, or at least with some impact to the Angels. I'm sorry, to the Rangers and other places. Consequently, Ron Washington was the Rangers manager at that point in time and had these guys there. So Wash was given a nice group of people to and prospects and young players to build around, and he did just that for the Rangers. So that trade was the number two worst trade in my mind in Braves history. And number one, and in my mind it's not even close, the worst trade in Braves history, August 28th, 1983, the Braves acquired Lynn Barker, pitcher from the Cleveland Indians, for three players to be named later and cash considerations. So, 83, Braves in the playoff hunt. Murphy is leading this team with Bob Horner, other guys there. We needed a pitcher, and Lynn Barker became available. Lynn Barker was a big, strong righty guy, threw hard. He pitched a perfect game, I believe, earlier in that year, the year before one. Ted Turner was the Braves manager, I'm sorry, general manager and owner, legendary owner for the Braves, and made a great impact with this team. But this was a move that never should have been made. The players to be named and cash turned out to be Brett Butler, Brooke Jacoby, and Rick Behenna. So for those of you that are a little older than me or younger than me and don't know about this group of people, Brett Butler was the Braves' left fielder at that point in time. Ended up being a center fielder in the majors for a long time. He was a leadoff man, stolen base guy, big-time steals, great defender. He was the catalyst for this team. He was a rookie, I believe, or if not, he was in his second year. Very young player at this point in time with a bright, bright future. Brooke Jacoby was a minor league third baseman who hadn't cracked the majors yet. Ended up being a very, very good corner infielder, a power hitter, for the Indians and a few other teams for quite some time. Ended up being a great loss for the Braves. And Rick Behenna was a spot starter type guy, been in the minors, been in the majors, spot starting some. Never amounted to a ton after this trade. He did pitch a little bit. But Butler and Jacoby were very good major leaguers. Butler was an all-star. I'm guessing Jacoby was a few times as well. So, you know, the players to be named, the Braves got to keep Brett Butler the rest of the year until the playoffs were over, and then he was traded away and named as that player to be named, and there was a huge, huge uprising in Atlanta that this had happened. Bad move, sending Butler away and sent our franchise backwards for quite some time there because of this. Lynn Barker never pitched very well for Atlanta. He had some arm troubles. They did keep him a couple more years. I think they signed him and kept him around a couple more years. But he was not good really ever for the Braves once they got him. So they lost this trade big time and sent our franchise by this trade in the tailspin for a couple years, although they were pretty good in parts of the 80s for sure. But it sent us backwards and got us in a spot where they weren't very good over time, where they could have been a lot better with Butler and Jacoby in particular. And Behenna was a guy. The Braves pitching was not great. Behenna was a guy that could have helped him probably as well. So never forget this moment. I never forget when it happened. So, you know, this one in the Murphy trade to me will always hit home because I was a young man, a kid, watching this team. And Murphy was my hero, my guy. So him getting traded was tough. The Butler one, we all loved Brett Butler. We knew how good he was going to be. And for him to have been traded for a guy like this seemed like a panic moment by Braves management there to get a pitcher in that could lead them maybe go to the promised land that year. It didn't work out at all, obviously. So worst trade, Lynn Barker trade. Second worst trade, the Teixeira trade. And finally, the third worst trade is the Murphy trade. I do wonder what else will hit on this list. You know, the Sean Murphy one, I'm afraid may be here one day on this list later on, 10 years down the road. I don't know that the Matt Olson trade looks great anymore because of the price and Matt's inability to be consistent. Hopefully he is a guy that does get better. We shall see. But that's my list of the Braves' three worst trades in history. We have made a lot of good trades, and we'll talk about those at some point down the road, but these are the worst three. Thanks for listening. Take care. What is up, Braves country? Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Braves Craze podcast. It's December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 2022. Thanks for listening to the podcast and the show. We're going to get into some information and news today from the Braves. There's the big news on the Dansby Swanson era that you probably already know about, but we'll talk about that in depth, a few other signings, and then a little bit about the future. If you will, give this podcast a follow and a like at your favorite podcast platform. I'd appreciate that if you would. And hit me up on Twitter with any questions you have, at Dr. Braves. Again, thanks for your support. Thanks for listening to this show. Let's get to business here with Dansby Swanson. So I debuted the Swan Song Meter last week with our new segment. I'm going to retire the Swan Song Meter today because that number, the Swan Song Meter, is 100%, meaning that's the percent chance the Braves do not retain Dansby Swanson. He signed somewhere else. As you know, Dansby Swanson is now a Chicago Cub. 7 years, $177 million for Dansby to the Cubs. Wow. You know, I didn't think Dansby would be back. It became more and more evident he would not be a Brave after he did not sign for the Braves. The Braves apparently made an offer around $100 million or so for Dansby, I think 5 to 7 years as well, somewhere in there. You know, we all knew the Braves would not pay top dollar. We hoped Dansby would probably take a little less to stay in Atlanta, and he may have. But that money just wasn't really enough to make that happen. So Dansby goes to Chicago. If I'm not mistaken, his new wife plays soccer out of a Chicago pro team as well. So that may be easy for Dansby to be, quote, home with his wife and things around the Cubs. So good luck to Dansby. We love you, Dansby. We thank you for all the work you've done here. I really hate that he's moved on because he was a very good player. And I think our lineup gets a lot worse, and our defense definitely gets a lot worse without Dansby Swanson in that lineup. So, you know, again, it's a sad time for the Braves losing Swanson there to the Cubs. The Cubs kind of snuck in there late and made some big pushes. They were not on the initial list I thought would get Dansby, but congratulations to Dansby and the Cubs for this money. He deserved to get paid. He earned it. You know, I do think Dansby's very good. Do I think he's worth that? Probably not. A lot of players in the league are not worth really getting paid. Really, probably no one is, if truth be told about it. The salary structure has gotten so high, but Dansby certainly will help the Cubs. We're going to miss him for sure. So once again, from the Braves Craze podcast, from me to Dansby, thank you very much, Dansby, for the work you did and the time you put in here. You'll be missed, and we will not be the same team without you. So, you know, again, the Braves offer, that's what the Braves do. They're not going to pay a lot of people top dollar long-term contracts. That's just not Alex's style. So I think now a lot of indications are we're going to roll with Vaughn Grissom at shortstop, which I'm a fan of. I do think that the young man is going to be a very good player. I think he's a blue-chip prospect. The one thing I don't know is if he's really a shortstop. You know, I think he has worked with Ron Washington a good bit in the offseason. There have been reports about how complimentary Wash was of his work ethic and his improvement defensively and his ability to get out there and get after it with Wash. And if anybody can get him to where he is going to be a very good shortstop, it is Ron Washington for sure. So the right guys doing that work there with Vaughn Grissom. I do expect and hope the Braves go out and get a veteran guy behind Vaughn to help play defense, to help mentor him. I don't know a lot of names out there right now. I do think Jose Iglesias, former Tiger, is available. So somebody like that, if you can get them to kind of go into a part-time role and agree to that, would be a nice pickup for the Braves. But I hope Vaughn Grissom is the guy they go with. Still seeing a few trade rumors of a few guys. Still seeing some signing rumors of a few guys. We mentioned Elvis Andrews in a nostalgia segment today that you'll hear in a second. Might be a guy we're looking at potentially, but I don't know if they would do that. I don't know if Elvis is a full-time player anymore, but we shall see. But if you get him to take more of a backup role or a complimentary role, platoon role with Vaughn Grissom, maybe you look at that and go with that. But I think the Braves should give the kid a chance to see if he can win that job and stay there all year and be consistent and play. You can probably bat him down the bottom of the order, 8-9 spot, and not have a lot of risk on that. The problem from the lineup, though, is, and again, I'm all for Vaughn Grissom. I've already made that statement. I do believe that's the right way to go. The problem with that lineup is you've removed Dansby's bat from the top of the order. He batted second most of the year and was really good as a catalyst. Clutch hitter. He was one of the best couple hitters consistently all year in my mind. So replacing Dansby is going to be tough. And then you take away William Contreras' bat. I've already talked about that and how that impacts the lineup as well. I just know the way I know to say it, but William Contreras is a better hitter than Sean Murphy. And defensively, I get it. I get the Murphy love there. I do think he has some offensive upside. But I think any way you look at it, William Contreras is a much better hitter. And now we've taken two good hitters, Contreras and Dansby, away from that lineup projection for the 2023 season. So I do think another new move is necessary. The Braves did make a few other moves that I'll talk about here. After saying that, they signed Jordan Luplow. I'm going to give you some stats on Jordan Luplow here for the season, for last year in his career. 29-year-old right-handed outfielder, first baseman, pinch hitter, according to baseballreference.com. 2022, Luplow had 234 plate appearances, 205 fish at the bats. He hit 11 home runs, drove in 28, but he hit 176. slug 361, not very good. Luplow's career batting average is 213 in 841 at bats. He has hit 45 big league homers dating back to 2017. He's been a part-time player with Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Toronto, and Arizona, and Tampa Bay. So he's bounced around a lot. He does have some pop, but he is not a good average hitter, consistent hitter at all. Again, a righty, we seem to be right-handed heavy on this team right now, so a lefty would maybe help a lot here. Also, but Luplow is an option to be the fourth outfielder or maybe even start platoon. Heard a lot of folks say maybe a Rosario-Luplow platoon in left field. I do not like the prospects of that, but Luplow is a guy that if you had on the bench would be a nice pinch hitting sub piece out there to platoon or pinch hit here with that pop he's got. I've also read he may be an emergency catcher, which would have some value as well. But 176 last year and 205 at bats is not going to be something that we're going to really be thrilled about. Of note, the most at bats he's ever had was 225 in 2019. With Cleveland, where he hit 15 homers, and he did hit 276 that year. So once he played a little more, he did hit the ball better, but the career average of 213 and a 176 last year is not real good. So Jordan Luplow, welcome to the Braves. I do hope he comes in and makes an impact, but there's some work to do there in left field still in my mind. And then the Braves traded for Lewin Diaz, L-E-W-I-N. I'm assuming that's Lewin. He played for the Marlins recently. Journeyman, left-handed first baseman, part-time guy, got a little pop as well, but another flyer-type project here for the Braves as a first baseman. I guess the hope is he would make the team as a backup reserve player here or be insurance for Sean Murphy if he did get injured. So welcome to the team, Lewin Diaz. Again, kind of shopping the bargain basement here a little bit in my mind for Anthopoulos. For a guy like this, again, nothing wrong with this deal unless they gave up something for him. I don't know what they gave up. I'm assuming it's not very much. But, you know, Diaz is a guy we picked up for this team as well. So, you know, left field still continues to be a hole for me. You kind of wonder if there's other moves coming. But it seems like Alex may be kind of constricted now with trading, because I mentioned before the prospect capital he traded in the Sean Murphy deal. There's also some rumblings the Braves don't have a lot of money left to spend. So if this is the team we go in with these bargain basement type left field, outfield, shortstop, first base, flyers, we got to hope something strikes lightning there and hits. But again, still some holes left to fill by the Braves. So I want to address the Max Fried rumors. A lot of talk now about Max Fried may be traded because he hasn't signed a contract and we may not be able to afford Max Fried. You know, the Braves and Alex do a lot of signings early on, and then when they get down to the wire, a guy like Fried, when you hadn't paid the guy, he's going to cost so much, like the Swanson-Freeman situations. We may not end up paying him and may end up doing something different. Freeman walked. But if you're not going to pay Fried, as much as I love Max Fried, he's probably my favorite pitcher in baseball right now. You know, Kyle Wright and Strider are on that list as well. But you might want to think about trading Max and getting something out of Max. And I hate saying that, but if we're going to let him walk, if you can get a couple players, particularly to restock your minor league system, get a functional starter for him back as well to replace him, or you could go the route of Bryce Elder or Waskar and Noah are guys in the minors right now. You traded away Kyle Muller, your best prospect, but you still got some other guys there. Soroka, we hope, ends up taking a spot this year too. So, you know, that's another thing. I guess maybe the Charlie Morton signing of $20 million, maybe they knew they weren't going to keep Max Fried if that happens, and they kept Charlie because of that. I don't know. Or with a short-term deal. So, but Max Fried's future with the Braves seems to be a little bit in question. Let me go back and say I would love to keep Max Fried long term. He's a great pitcher, one of my favorites we've ever had on the mound. So, but I don't know what the plans are there. But certainly, I'm a little bit scratching my head, wondering what's next for Max Fried. And then we've also heard some rumblings about Travis d'Arnaud, and will they really keep Travis d'Arnaud to platoon and split time with Sean Murphy? Because, you know, one of the theories is if you trade that many folks for Sean Murphy, five players or whatever it was, you don't want him platooning with a guy this season to kind of diminish his value. And that does make sense. You know, if they did go to Travis and ask him about this and end up dealing Travis, that's going to really not be good, not going to sit well with some Braves fans, this one included. As I said before, I think Travis and William Contreras was the best catching duo in baseball, and Contreras was the future. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But to end this segment for the week's transactions, stats, updates, and report, I want to talk about Sean Murphy now and his stats over the years and where he has been, what he has done for the Oakland A's. So he has been in the big leagues a total of 4 years. The first year in 2019, he only played 20 games, and then only played 43 in 20. So the first couple years he was up, not much playing time. He is a career, forgive me to find the average here, he's a career 236 hitter. So only hit 236 in his career. Last year being his best year, had 537 at-bats, 37 doubles, which is encouraging, 18 homers, 66 RBIs, 54 walks, struck out 124 times, so not terrible there. Hit 250. So that's his best offensive season he's had, slug 426. The doubles really helped a lot when I saw that. The year before, though, the only other full year he's been in the majors was 21 with the A's. 448 plate appearances, 393 at-bats, 17 round-trippers, 59 batted in, 114 Ks with 40 walks, but he only hit 216. His other 2 years in the majors, he hit 233 and 140 plate appearances, 116 at-bats, and 245 with 53 at-bats in 19 and 21 and 20, respectively. So, Murphy has 46 career homers, 147 career RBIs, and a .236 career batting average. So, for those folks that want to say Sean Murphy has upgraded our team that much, I got to call that one out. Is he better defensively? Sure. Do the rule changes we've got going on now require, or does it seem like a defensive catcher would make more sense? It does. No question there. But Sean Murphy is not a good major league hitter, folks. He's never been that. He was okay last year with 250 and 17 home or 18 homers last year and 37 doubles. That's pretty good. But that's one season, and he still hit 250. I go back to, you replace Dansby Swanson and William Contreras' bats in the lineup with Sean Murphy and Vaughn Grissom. You're not better. You're not better. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope Sean Murphy becomes one of the best catchers in baseball. People are already saying he's in the top five, which I don't know that I believe. I like Sean Murphy. I think he's a good player. I think he's a players type player. He'll be a team guy for this team, and that's a good thing. I expect he'll fit right in with this group. You know, Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves management have made some moves in the last 3 or 4 years. Some have been great, and then some are not so good. The acquisition of Marcell Ozuna for year one, the COVID year where he basically almost won the Triple Crown and was behind Freddie in the MVP by like just a few votes. But then we paid him big and he hadn't been the same since. So the Ozuna signing has been poor. Eddie Rosario was a legend in the playoffs a couple years ago on the way to the World Series, particularly in the NLCS. We paid him and he's been really, really bad since then. Now, hopefully the eye surgery thing corrects this for him. But those two signings are a mess for the Braves, no question. We did get some guys signed long-term. You got to love the contracts for Acuna, Albies, even Riley's bigger contract. I mean, you know, Riley's my guy. I think he's going to be an MVP guy before he's done. that is a good thing. Michael Harris, great signing. But Alex Anthopoulos, he's gambling a lot right now. You know, the jury's still out on the Olsen trade to me, too. Gave up a lot of price capital prospects for Olsen. Same for Murphy. So we'll see how these two work out, but I'm not a huge fan of either of these trades, even the Olsen one right now. Matt Olsen is not a great .400 average hitter. He's not very consistent. So we missed Freddie Freeman last year, in my mind, with those consistent clutch situations, and Dansby took a lot of that slack up by being the clutch hitter. The other thing I'm going to say the Braves that we need to correct is our minor league system is a mess. Next episode, we're going to talk a lot about the minor leagues and the prospect list. And there's some names on there that we don't know that are moving up those lists now. And maybe they'll be better. But the Braves minor league system has gone way, way down. It was once a rich, rich place of talent. And we brought up a lot of that talent now. And we're finding gems. Like Ron Acuña was not really that high on the list until the last minute before he came up. And certainly he is a legend and a wonderful, wonderful major league player. And maybe the best prospect that ever came out of the Braves system. But right now, it doesn't look very deep or very good there. So we're going to talk about that soon. Y'all, and I'll say this. I'm talking down a little bit, talking negative a bit. I love Alex Anthopoulos, the jobs he has done for this team. He's won us a series. And for that, you know, the price you pay for any of that is worth it for sure. I still have faith in him. I have faith in this team. We're still a very good team. And still, in my mind, one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the National League East and the National League. But some changes may be coming. Some changes may be needed for other players here. And we've certainly got different guys that are going to be relying on this year in this lineup, such as a Vaughn Grissom probably in that spot, and a Sean Murphy. To close, I'll talk about really quickly the Carlos Correa situation. The Giants lost the deal with him. The Mets went in, swooped in, and got him on a concern of an injury from the Giants. Big contract for Correa, long years. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And then today, it's reported the Mets now have a concern about his health. So the deal's not dead. Still out there. But we're going to see how that works out. So Mets get richer. The money they've spent this year in the offseason is unbelievable. We'll see how the Mets come out with this. But Correa's still up in the air a bit now, it seems like. So that's all for the day. That's the show. I want to take this time to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. It is December 24th, and it is that time of year. It's going through a super cold spell here in the South. Temperatures down below 10 degrees, which is not something we ever see here. So we're kind of bundled up and trying to stay warm. But Merry Christmas. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Have a great Christmas and a new year. Talk to you soon. Go Braves.